Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, September 11th, and it is September 11th today.
I know.
It was weird. You know how I was awakened? I have the radio set on my alarm. So usually they're like, I don't even know what is on, you know,
right.
Just some show where the people talk. And this morning I woke up and it sounds like I'm hearing like police and people like talking, you know, through walkie-talkie or something.
Right.
And I'm like, what's going on, you know? And then I quickly realized these are probably clips from 9/11.
Yeah.
So I remembered. It was as though the second I woke up, I was made to realize it was that. So,
right.
But that's, but it's a big day, I guess, for everybody to kind of look back and remember and everything. And the way that we look, I mean, the day we lost our innocence really is modern America, at least. And things have never been the same. I knew they wouldn't be. Where were you at the time? Were you in Boston at the time?
I was in middle school.
You were in middle school?
I was in math class.
That's
I'll never
true.
Forget it, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and they made us stay in school.
8:15 in the morning, or 8:15, was that?
It was in the morning. I don't remember the exact time.
8 and 9.
Yeah.
Do you remember, Matthew?
Oh, yeah.
What time was it?
Oh, I mean, it was early, wasn't it? Like 6 in the morning?
No, it
no,
was about 8.
It was definitely
eight,
like school
nine.
Time, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
I was in math class.
Yeah.
I was a musician back then, so 8 in the morning seemed like 6 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah that's
yeah.
true.
Right.
It was early for me, mm-hmm. but yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so, and this is our guest. He'll be joining us in just a moment. If you want to see us today, we're on Facebook Live, so you can go to LA Talk Radio's page and see us there. Otherwise, just stay tuned right here. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have a great show today. We're going to talk, Danny, about relationships and men and women.
That's right up my alley. Welcome. You're my therapist for the day.
Yeah, right. So we'll be joined by a coach, and it'll be awesome. Just a couple things. So what you were telling me that... that you got up early this morning.
Yeah, I'm so tired. It's like hitting me right now.
Really?
But it's
so
also...
So you woke up at 3:30. I went to sleep at 2:30.
So like an hour after you went to bed, yeah. But I went to bed at... I went to bed at like 10 last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. I wish I could say that.
Like at 10 on the dot.
Really?
Yeah, I actually read last night and reading helps me go to bed. I
yeah,
started reading the book, The Power.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I'm going to be a new person after I'm done reading it.
Really?
I'm already like only half of the first chapter in, and I feel like I woke up with a little bit more positivity than I did yesterday. Because you saw me yesterday. I was a Debbie Downer.
What's The Power? What's that about?
I don't know if it's, I'm only on chapter one, so I can't give you.
How come I never heard of it?
It's like
power?
A bestseller.
Burn, right?
Yeah.
From The Secret?
I didn't read The Secret. I just bought The Power, but he said you don't, in the introduction, he said you don't need to read The Secret because they're both like intertwined in The Power.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good. So that brought you up a little bit?
Yeah.
Good. Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reading is good for you.
I felt like a piece of shit that I was crying that I didn't make a reality show this weekend.
That's okay. You're entitled to feel that way. You
well,
know,
no, I was like talking to this photographer because I have all these clothes that I got to that I was thought I was going to be wearing on camera. So I'm like, okay, well, I have to take pictures in them because all these companies sent them to me for free. So I wrote this photographer. I'm like, hey, can you take my pictures? I met him like a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
And we were like catching up and I was like telling him how I like cried all weekend and stayed in bed and was complaining about life. And then he proceeded to tell me that his mom got diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. And I was like, I am a piece of shit.
It's all relative, right?
Yeah. Like, it's just like, here I am complaining about a goddamn reality show.
Well, but you were expecting it. You were looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I think it's
fine. I mean, we're only human.
Give yourself a break.
Yeah. To feel some
You're
type of emotion.
To feel.
Yeah.
You know?
I try to think of it that way because my sister was like, there's people dying in the world. That's what she said on Friday. I go, yeah, I understand that. And I feel bad about that too. But can I be upset
right.
for her?
Exactly. I don't want to hear about that, you know?
Yeah.
Who wants to hear that when you feel down? And
so I kind of like snap myself completely out of it. I'm like, oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm never going to complain about that ever again.
So did you have your pictures taken?
No. We're shooting on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Sam, does it look like I got my pictures taken?
I don't know. I don't think
my,
about these
My nails
things.
Aren't done. My hair is not done.
But this is the following day. I don't know.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I'm a mess. I haven't done anything. My toes need to be done. I'm in so much pain. I need to get a back massage.
Really?
It's like hard for me to even sit like this right now.
Yeah.
I think it's just because I've been training. Like, I've never worked out this much in my life. So I'll wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, go to the gym, and then I'll train after I leave here. So I'm doing 2-a-days, like 3-4 times a week.
Really?
Yeah. Wow, but my body's not changing.
Oh, wow.
So like,
maybe you're not doing it right.
No, definitely.
Look, my son, in like 2 weeks, he lost like 2-3 weeks by going to CrossFit.
Yeah.
Lost like 15 pounds or something.
You know, the weird thing is I've been doing this for like a month now. Mm-hmm. And the trainer's amazing. When I leave with my trainer, I feel like I've literally just conquered the world. Anyone checking him out on Instagram, it's Fitness I Am. He's incredible. But when I go to the regular gym, I'm like, I like barely sweat.
Yeah, literally. But there you go. That's
but I've been the same weight. I haven't lost any. I'm not trying to lose weight. I'm just trying to tone up. Because I eat normally. Like, I'll eat cookies and ramen noodles and pasta.
Right.
Like,
it's not like you're fat or anything.
No.
You know? Yeah.
But I'm not losing weight.
Yeah.
But usually when you work out twice a day, you lose weight.
Yeah. Well, it depends what kind of workout.
Yeah. So that's sad.
If you just sit there to show
off. If I lose any weight, my ass is going to look like it's sitting on 2 sticks.
Yeah.
So I don't want to
lose. Well, I don't know. I wouldn't know.
I'm just saying.
I never had an ass job before, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You're funny, man.
So I don't want that to happen. Because my legs have always been small.
Okay.
So I don't want to lose weight and have them be smaller.
All right. Well, work on your ass then. What can I tell you?
No, because I don't want my ass to be any bigger.
No, it'll just be toned, maybe.
And it'll be bigger.
Really?
Like, I've noticed it's already gotten bigger, and I'm like, oh, lordy. Imagine if I get pregnant. I'm going to look like a buffoon.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Danny and her sister, her twin sister, actually got an ass job. But
they're BBLs, not implants, nothing fake. It's your real fat.
Oh, okay.
Transferred to your ass.
Okay, so no implants. So
no, oh my God.
Nothing in there.
Have you seen those pictures all over like Instagram and Twitter of people getting like actual ass implants and their ass is exploding
too? Yeah.
Oh my God, gag worthy.
Yeah, that's terrible, man.
And then their butts, like, people do. I don't know how you survive after something like that.
I don't know why people go through that,
but people are doing shots too.
Yeah,
I don't know what's in those shots, but like some doctors are mixing them with like cement.
Wow.
I'm like, come on, ladies.
I know, I've heard of stories, horror stories about this shit.
If I could go back in time, I probably would have never done it. Yeah. But my advice to anyone who's thinking about getting a BBL, don't.
Don't do it.
No.
Keep your regular.
I mean, it's the most natural. You know, if people ask me if my ass is real, I always say yes, because it is. Just my fat moved around. So it's real. Real moved around.
Okay, it depends on how you look at it.
But
it's always perspective.
The recovery is not worth it.
No, huh?
No, like even when I think back on it, it gives me chills.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Well, you've done a lot of painful experiences with all your tattoos and piercings and ass and, right?
Tattoos is not even on the same level as my ass.
Okay, but it's painful, right?
Yeah, but tattoos is like
bearable.
So I guess there's like this thing in the Native American culture where they used to get tattooed because when you feel that amount of pain, it's like releasing like your soul and welcoming something new. I don't know I'm gonna have to Google it, but
yeah,
I mean, every time I get a tattoo, I just kind of try to remember that story. Like, this is like what I have to do
to make
it's like a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
And any Native Americans listening, please call and correct me.
Yeah.
But my tattoo artist actually told me that as I was getting a Native American headdress on my ass.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, is that what it is? Because I saw a picture of that. You posted one the other day, right?
Yeah. I?
Yeah. Of your, isn't it your right cheek?
Left cheek.
Oh, the left cheek.
You're right.
Oh, okay. But you say, I don't know what I saw in the picture. Maybe it was
this side.
Maybe it was reversed or something. Do you have tattoos on both cheeks?
No, I want no.
Okay,
no.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So the picture was reversed.
Yeah. If it's in the mirror, it'll be reversed.
Right.
Yeah. So it's on this side, which is your right, right? Yeah. So my left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, I didn't realize what it was. I just saw some kind of dark area, and I remembered you said
you were
covering
my whole ass is dark.
Well, no.
The feathers are black. It's a cover-up. To be young and dumb.
It is a cover-up. Yeah.
But this tattoo now is amazing. Yeah. I just need to finish it. I just haven't had the balls to.
Yeah.
Or the money. So.
Yeah. Well, hang in there. You will. Mm-hmm. One day, I'm sure.
And I want my whole back tatted too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
God, that's going to be painful.
Yeah.
I heard the back's the worst. My brother did his upper back and he said it was absolutely horrifying. And
really?
He's got like his whole body tatted too. Me and my brother have a lot of tattoos. Gabby only has like one or two.
Yeah.
She always pussies out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, come on, Gabby.
No, I just think she's more rational than you.
No, I would. Tattoos she's are not a big deal anymore.
No,
they're really not.
I know, but still, you know.
Although I do believe.
Having a lot of them is kind of unusual, no?
Well, I don't really like the look where people have like the shaved heads and like their whole like, that's not. You don't have a shot at all. Don't even try to hit on me. I know that's awful to say, but it's just I don't find it attractive at all.
Yeah,
but I think
yeah.
if guys have both their sleeves completely done, right. maybe like bits of their chest and some of their back, I think that's sexy as fuck.
Yeah, you'll go for that.
Yeah, hell
like
yeah.
Adam Levine or something, right?
From Is he Maroon tatted? 5.
He's totally fucking tatted. Are you kidding me?
Why can't I remember him being tatted?
Well, look him up and see. He's totally full of tattoos.
I already has a huge dick.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good. I'd like to get a rumor like that about myself.
And it's just a rumor, but I heard it.
Yeah, so it's not big, it's huge.
Yeah, that's what I heard, like huge.
Okay,
but you know what's
that's
funny?
That's why women are crazy about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that and he's like the lead singer of a fucking band.
Right, and he is pretty hot for
Yeah,
a
he's
woman.
Not bad
yeah.
looking. I don't
right.
like him with the shaved head, but with hair, he's good looking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but what was I going to say about him? I forget.
I don't know.
No, what I was going to say is skinny guys are rumored to have, like, you can't, like, sleep on skinny guys.
Oh, okay.
They might, like, look, like, slouchy in their clothes, but then when they get naked, you're like, holy shit.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So the dick sticks out. Okay. All right. On that note, we're going to bring on our guest right now. You didn't expect this
yeah,
one, did you? Yeah, that's okay.
A lot you of material can, here.
Yeah. yeah.
Jump in on
No, that's okay.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Matthew Solomon.
Happy to be here.
Thank you for coming. You've been on the station a couple times,
yeah.
so you're becoming a friend of the station now, and you're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about what it is that you do, Matthew.
Well, thank you. I'm an empowerment coach. I specialize in relationships
mm-hmm.
and communication. I wrote a book called Man School, Relating with Women in the Me Too Era, which acknowledges women and it explains to men, you know, what the whole Me Too thing is and,
right.
you know, how we can interact with women, you know, because when that all happened, men were like, oh, we can't even talk to women.
Right.
I'm afraid. What am I going to do? And
it's
I'm like,
that's
yeah,
true.
Cool.
It happened.
Uh-huh.
It
yeah.
happened.
It's
yeah.
like,
still
so,
kind of happening.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because mm-hmm. this thing is not over yet.
No, mm-hmm. no. And it's not going away
right.
anytime soon, which I think is a good thing.
Women are standing up for themselves
yeah,
and saying we're not
going
to go for this
anymore. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, I wanted to, I have a gift for listening and hearing women and being able to translate that for men. And so I put that in a book form so that men, and it's only 72 pages.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's easy for us men.
Yeah, they can read that in an hour.
Yeah,
yeah exactly.
And the feedback from men and women has been amazing.
Very nice.
And then in addition to that, I write a weekly column for the Good Men Project called Too Sensitive,
okay.
uh-huh.
which shares my perspectives on having been called a man who was too sensitive most of my life,
really?
but it's actually been a benefit, especially in relationships and just understanding women, understanding
right.
society and all of that.
Right.
Yeah, very
yeah.
cool, man. Very cool. So now let me see. You wrote something about this launching today.
Yeah.
The Too Sensitive column.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very
to
much.
You.
I've been contributing articles for the last couple months and they asked me to be a weekly
really?
Columnist. Yeah.
So are
That's
you
awesome.
A writer by profession?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. I write. I actually come from the film side. So I've written and directed movies.
That's
and,
cool.
I was in the music business. We were talking about musicians. I was in the music business, you know, in my teens and 20s
mm-hmm.
and then got into commercials and acting and ultimately film, writing
yeah.
and directing and then coaching.
So how did you end up in this? You decided film is not for you anymore?
No, I'm still doing film. It all just evolved.
Right.
I've spent 20 years of my adult life trying to be a better partner and a better man and a better listener. And so all of the work that I've done, I taught martial arts for years also. So there's always been an element of coaching people and helping people. And so it just evolved.
Right.
And a couple years ago, I was meditating and I was focusing on this movie that I was working on. And I got this, you know, message that spoke to me. It was like, you know a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff. You need to start sharing that with people.
Yeah. Right.
And so I was putting out Facebook videos and people were responding. And then I was like, I should coach.
Very and nice. So
do you have a YouTube channel?
I do. It's Coach with Matthew Solomon.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's all about YouTube these days. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How does one meditate? Like, what are you supposed to do? Everyone tells me that I should meditate, but I just don't understand like what you do when you're meditating.
Sure. There's so many different approaches,
right.
You know, so what I do usually is it's just sitting quietly and focusing on my breathing.
Right.
And if you can,
but do you think?
Well, the goal is to focus on your breathing so that your thoughts kind of in this particular way.
Right.
So, you know, it's clearing your mind. It's focusing on your breath. Thoughts are going to come in. Your brain is always working. There's just no way around it.
Right.
So, you know, most people are like, well, I can't stop thinking, so I'm not good at this. But the goal is to, when you notice the thoughts, to set them aside and go back to your breath.
Right.
Or do a visualization. You know, like I'll visualize like water coming up my back and then pouring over the front like a waterfall.
Do you have to be in silence or can you play like spa music on Pandora?
Well, yeah. So that meditation can be going for a walk or a hike,
right.
Sitting on the beach. It can be chanting. It's really whatever gets us out of our daily, like, you know, Facebook, thinking about this, answering the phone, talking to people, where we can just kind of be with ourselves and turn in and listen to our body and our soul.
Right.
I'm going to start doing that.
You should, you know.
I really think I need to because I feel like my thoughts are always going like.
And I think it helps you connect with your mind and your body,
right? If you can do that for even 10 minutes a day,
right.
Even if it's just a walk and you're just in nature, it's going to...
I can't walk and do it. I like literally have to sit in my room, light my Bath and Body Works candles and put on some music.
Well, yeah, do that.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm going to do it tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Setting up sounds like setting up the scene for a night alone.
Yeah, it is. Because I know like the window of time where my roommates aren't home.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to do it before they get home. Although they're semi-quiet, I could do it when they're home. I still feel like I would concentrate on the fact that they're home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is that you want privacy. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And even like if you wake up 10 minutes earlier,
right,
and have a journal. I do this every day.
Right.
Have a notebook and you just write down, you know, 10 things I'm grateful for, 10 things that are working in my life.
Right. Yeah.
And so the minute you wake up, you go into that because, you know, our brains start going.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't do that, I'm checking my phone. I'm thinking about finances. I'm, you know, hearing news programs. And so we get inundated.
Yeah.
But if you can take control of your mind for those first 10 minutes, it sets up the rest of your day.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what I've noticed is every time I wake up, even at 3:30 in the morning, the first thing I do is reach over to my phone and look at my social media.
Yeah.
What happened on Instagram when I was sleeping?
Right. Exactly. And that's the first thing we do because the phone is next to our bed.
Yeah. I don't even check my email or anything that has to do with my life. I just go and check everybody else's.
I know. You're so obsessed with social media.
Yeah.
It's so.
But I've noticed like right now, I'm like, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And I think... So I follow like 400 and something people and I was like, I'm literally about to unfollow everybody except people I work with and my family because I feel like I get so caught up in people's postings that if I follow less people, there's less posts. Therefore, I'm on social media less.
Exactly. That's why I don't follow a lot. I mean, I don't get a lot of followers as a consequence, but I also think... There's probably like 100 people at most that I want to see their posts.
Right.
If I get like thousands of people I'm following... It's all going to get lost. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's why. But it's not a good way to build a followership. You need to, unless you're a big celebrity, you need to follow people.
But, that's very true, yeah.
But as a radio station, I'm not going to go and follow some people I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But so before we get into conversation about relationships and everything, I wanted to bring this up because this is outrageous and it just keeps stopping itself. I guess a man who's an expatriate. You know, he lives, he's an Egyptian, and he lives in Saudi Arabia, was having a breakfast with a woman that he works with at the hotel, right? Mm-hmm. In the lobby.
In a hotel in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the lobby and everything. She's totally covered except her eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
The man was arrested for having breakfast with a woman. And so they're saying women need to... Let's see, how do they say this? They need to know their place at regulating women's placement at work, okay? And they have rules for that.
I'm sorry, please rewind here.
Yeah.
He got arrested for having lunch with a woman coworker.
Yeah.
That's, I'm so, and people are like, would you ever move to another right. country? No, I will not.
Right, and not, and definitely not there. You
no,
know?
That's it's insanity. Just,
that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, you, people call for equal rights and stuff. You know, let's fight for these women, you know, that fucking get stepped on.
Well, we can't though, because it's not our country.
Exactly, yeah, you like, know, but maybe like if they have enough like groups like Amnesty International and all these rights groups. I mean, yeah, the UN makes all these groups that are worth nothing, but they don't do anything to help women around
yeah,
the world.
Yeah, no,
you know?
That's crazy.
So let me ask you this, Matthew. Are there a lot of places in the world where women are still like almost subhuman like this? How does it work like in Asia, for example?
I've never been to Asia, so I can't really speak to
that. No, but you need to know that.
Yeah, I mean, women are, you know, not treated equally here. And
I mean, right. anywhere really, but I mean, we have it less right. bad than that.
Right, because women have made headway.
And
here.
Do you know how many beautiful women are underneath those wraps? They're like drop dead gorgeous under there.
Probably, yeah.
It's horrible.
But this just shows you, I think, how little they trust the men. To be able to look at these women and not attack them, you know? I mean, isn't that what it's about? Or to, or so they don't distract you or something, you know?
I have no idea what it's about.
Yeah, that's the rationalization behind it, you know? And they're also property, so they don't want anybody else to see your wife, you know?
I would hate to be some man's property. Yeah. Oh, my God.
But you're born into it. What the hell are you going to do?
That is a, you know, it's a good point you make about the trust thing. And that's something that I encounter a lot when I'm in conversations with men around consent, you know, and right. that sort of thing where men are like, well, we're men and we have urges and you can't, you know, it's biology. But if we're, you know, ascending above animals like dogs and, you know, and that sort of thing, we have mastery or we can achieve mastery over our biology.
Right.
I mean, we do it anyway. We make mm-hmm. choices all the time.
Right.
So I can choose to let a no be a no. I can choose to, you know, not have to take a woman because, you know, I'm entitled to her.
Right.
And so I think that's the thing, you know, like where those, you were saying, like those laws are set up to, because men aren't trusted.
Right.
Well, why aren't men trusted? Like we're grown thinking men.
Right.
So we need
right.
to like get our shit together and be responsible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Be
I mean,
able
just
because
you have urges
woman,
doesn't mean you can fuck me today.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
So to be able to look at a woman and not attack her, I think that's what people need to know.
I mean, that's a pretty low bar.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, like it's just common sense. Yeah.
Right. You know, but some people don't get it. And some total cultures don't get it.
Yeah.
You
know? I always wonder about that too, because when I think about like when I watch like Law and Order SVU and stuff and they have like rapists on there, I'm like, how did you get this way? Were you born this way? Is it like a chemical imbalance? Is it something you read in a book? Was it a movie you watched as a kid? How the fuck did you become a rapist?
Yeah, how's it
or a pedophile? Like how does a grown ass man find a 4-year-old or a 7-year-old attractive?
Right. I think it's because they're stuck in the past, you know. I think a lot of the sexual problems that people have started when they were very young, you know.
Yeah.
When you're a kid and you can't disseminate what sex means and all that stuff,
yeah.
I think it screws you up and then you grow up with it.
Right.
Because I can't understand.
But not
it, you
every
know?
Kid that's a rapist was raped.
No, I'm
Do you
not
know what I mean?
No, I'm not saying he was raped, but what I'm saying is
there's other
Yeah, maybe
there's
he was
a
attracted.
Lot, there's a lot of shame and guilt that boys are experience and,
right.
and it doesn't it's not to justify it, it's just as information. It's like we're not taught how to be intimate. If we're not, you know, loved and taken care of, then we you know, we have to like we find ways to get that Right. We think there's something wrong with us. There's, you know, like I said, the shame and the guilt. And then, you know, we grow up with, bombarded with like porn and, you know, all these images where to be a man, you're every woman's supposed to want to be with you.
Right.
And if that's not the case, or if the woman you want to, like, there's something wrong with you. And so men don't really have, we're not taught to even acknowledge that or talk about that. There's no outlet for us that we see to even deal with it. And mm-hmm. so we internalize it, and then it comes out in these different ways. And
yeah,
some people are predispositioned to be pedophiles, I think. And I also believe that it comes out of, like you were saying, our childhoods and things that happened, or we didn't get love in a certain way, so we act out, and then we get to feel shitty about it.
Right.
You know, I don't think there are pedophiles who are like, yeah, I'm proud of me. I mean,
yeah,
you
know,
yeah, but maybe, but I also think that people usually rationalize things in their head, and they don't feel like what they're doing is wrong, you know, because I think most people don't do things that
I think some, yeah,
feel are wrong to them. You
yeah,
know
like there was a, hate to keep bringing it up, but yesterday there was a marathon on, and there was a guy that molested like his stepson. Mm-hmm. And at the end, when he got caught and he was being interviewed, he was like, he came on to me. Like,
really?
He, like, in yeah. his mind had convinced himself that it was okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he believed that his actual, like, 12-year-old stepson was like, hey, stepdad, yeah. can I have sex with you tonight?
Yeah.
You have to believe they live in kind of a small world in their head.
Like their own made-up world.
Right, you mm-hmm. know, where the rules are different, you know. But, Matthew, you're right, you know, because we are human beings. We have created culture and laws and mores and standards for our society. And one of them is you don't assault somebody else, you know, mm-hmm. period. And but I guess it you got to go back to where it all began. I mean, how is it possible that in so many societies, women are treated as less equal, you know, or a lot less equal?
Yeah.
Right.
I wonder where it started, you know, how far back it started, if it was a religious thing or, you know, if these things happened before, because I don't think it happened before, like, the modern religions, let's say, before Christianity and Judaism and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think? I mean, because, like, when you look at, like, the Assyrian or, you know, ancient Persian culture and stuff, history, I don't think they treated women as less. But mm-hmm. what do you think? Where do you think it came from?
Well, I mean, we're raised on the, you know, post biblical, like, Judeo-Christian
right
thing, you know.
Right.
So, you know, we grew up with the Adam and Eve story, and Eve came, you know, from the rib, and
right
so women and the hierarchy, and the man rules the house. There's
the man rules the house. Yeah. LOL.
But, you know, I'm wondering if before those religions started, like Romans and stuff like that, whether or Greek culture and stuff, whether it was like that then.
Well, there is a, I mean, there's a, I'm going to call it a theory for lack of a better word, but, you know, there is a belief that before all of that, women were actually in power.
Right.
Were more dominant. And then the men over time found a way to kind of fight back and set society up the way that, you know, to keep us in power, which, you know, has, can be argued that that's what certain, you know, other cultures and societies have done, where they were the underdogs and then they came out on top, and you know, every, like, the power shifts, like you know, if we look at the race thing, like, you know, there's a lot of white people who are afraid that, you know, white people are going to lose our supremacy, you know,
right.
by having their equality.
Mm-hmm. But, like, everyone's going to be mixed in, like, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Except for that small group of, like, KKK members.
Who some of them are mixed.
Yeah. Like, they're going to start fucking each other. Yeah, they're, like, literally going to have incest because there's going to be nobody left.
Right. If they haven't already.
Yeah, if they haven't already. What a weird... that's weird that that's still a thing.
Right.
Like, and not like the Nazi symbol on the arm. I'm like, really, guy? It's 2018. We really doing this still?
Right.
My grandparents were Holocaust survivors.
Oh, okay.
And so I grew up with Never Again. And, and to be in 2018, seeing all this stuff, it's like, how did this come back?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not that it ever left, really, but it's so... prevalent and it's so like normalized in ways that I can't believe it.
Yeah,
you know?
Same.
Yeah,
I agree.
So let's come to this time now, your book and everything. What is the title of the book again?
It's called Man's School, Relating with Women in the Me Too Era.
Okay, so let's...
And where can people buy that?
Amazon. And
Amazon's the way to go. Amazon. Everyone's posting their books on Amazon.
Yeah, and you can get it through my website. There's a link there. So Coach
what's your website?
CoachWithMatthewSolomon.com.
There you go.
There you go. It can't get any easier than that.
Yeah, no.
So how did we come to this now, to the Me Too era, where... women are assessing their strength now, their position in society, and say no more, you know, no more of this, you know.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see how so many incidents of people, men in power, especially men in power. Mm-hmm. So it shows you it's probably a power thing most of all when men treat or try to grab sex from a woman.
Well, it's a power and entitlement thing, but it's not exclusive to the men who are in power positions.
Almost every man is guilty of it, you know, in a certain way. And I'm saying almost, not all, but where we were raised that way, you know, it's like women are like the weaker sex, you know, that's what they used to call it, you know, I don't know.
Well, it's that you know, women are our trophies. They're here for our taking. If you look, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. And so all the, you know, heavy metal videos were all the women in, you know, swimsuits and the strippers.
That's videos now too, though.
Yeah. And then the rap videos.
Yeah. Like, they're twerking, like basically naked.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so success is I'm surrounded by 20 women and then they leave and 20 more come in. And that's how... you know, that's what signifies success.
Right.
Right. So do you think porn affects that kind of thinking too?
I think it's got a lot to do with it. Again, we're not taught how to, like, it's not the only thing.
Right.
But it contributes to it, in my opinion. And
also TV shows, like TV shows are like, the TV shows now are not like the TV shows when I was growing up, like How to Get Away with Murder. Like all these shows have like explicit sex scenes in them.
Yeah.
Like if your young kid is watching TV, they're going to think that's normal.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, slow down. Like everyone can slow down. But I mean, all those shows are like what's trending on Twitter and what's on Instagram. So like if your teenage daughter sees that, she's going to want to watch it.
Right. But, you know, I mean, but going back to porn and stuff, let me tell you why I think it could go either way as far as the effect of porn, because it depends on what people like, you know. I think people, if they like, because I've seen porn where men are really dominant and they like, not mistreat, but are the dominant ones in the sex scene or whatever.
Right.
And they're really rough and all that stuff, but... that's for some men that like that.
Right.
Not all men like that kind of sex.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, in some porn, actually the women come on as stronger than the men.
Yeah.
So I don't think the porn is contributing to that.
No,
you know what
I
I'm
think
saying?
Some porn does contribute to people's rapist thoughts. There's like porn where like people, it's like burglar porn, and like the burglar breaks in and
the viewer has to look for that stuff in order to actually get into it, you know. So how would they find
they're
it?
Scrolling
they search
through
for it.
If they're scrolling through page 6 on the front of Pornhub.com, and that's on page 6.
But if
6.
It attracts them, then it's in them already.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, the issue comes where it's not being able to separate the fantasy from the reality. And so if you look at like the traditional joke about porn, it's, you know, the pizza guy shows up and
and he's hot, and all of a sudden you're like,
the girl's
hey.
Hot,
yeah. Oh, the babysitter,
and she's, you know, gotta have him, like that's the entitlement thing, the guy who shows up, the woman who's there for him and has to have him right then and there. When you get into like the humiliation porn and you know the fantasy stuff, there is a lot of violent acts that are depicted. And if you can look at it as fantasy and not get desensitized to it and think that like this is how it's supposed to be. So like there, look, I grew up, I had to steal my mom's Spiegel catalog, you know.
I have no idea what the fuck that is.
Right. Well, it's, you know, it's like a
Victoria's Secret, yeah, Victoria's but conservative.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
For masturbation material, like pictures.
Yeah.
My kids have phones and iPads and, you know, I have twin, you're a twin. I have twin boys that are 10.
Okay.
Like they can go on, you know,
just literally, Pornhub.com, everything's free.
Like, there's people having sex.
Yeah.
And if you go on those pages, it's not lovemaking. It's not intimate.
No,
it's
not straight
sensitive.
Fucking.
It's like those are the images. It's like pounding away and pounding away and pounding away.
And they'll like the titles are like blah blah blah. It's her asshole reamed for first time ever.
Yeah,
I'm like, wow, it's really romantic.
Yeah, well, there you go, you know. But I think there's a place for that in society too. I'm not saying it
I'm
has
not saying
to
it's all bad,
right?
You know.
Don't porn doesn't have to replace intimacy. It can be just a little another part of your life, and I don't see anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But of course, if it replaces real relationships, then it creates a problem because you're going to be unhappy.
Yeah, I mean, I never understood the phenomenon of people being addicted to porn. Like having
you're not a
full no, there's probably some woman out there that
no,
to
I
porn.
Know,
yeah.
but for the most part, it's guys.
Yeah,
you know?
But for me, I'm like, why? Like, no, seriously, why?
Well,
like I don't mind a guy like needing to go on there to like get one off or a girl to go on there to get one off, but to like actually be addicted, like you have to go home and you have to get back to watching your porn.
Maybe because people are so into the sex part of it, you know, that they just need it that adrenaline all the time or something. It probably works like a drug for them.
That's so creepy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other issue is, you know, you have teens that are growing up with this access to it, and there's like an increasing number of cases of erectile dysfunction with men in their 20s, you know, when we're supposed to be our most like,
how does that happen?
Because we're watching this stuff.
I thought that
all
came with like old age.
It used to.
Right.
Well, but there's a lot of different reasons for it. I mean, if you take
what
medication,
exactly is erectile dysfunction? Like you just like come in 10 seconds?
No.
Can't get an erection or you can't maintain an erection.
Right. And then you can't orgasm and things like that. That's part of
it's
it.
It's horrible for you guys.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, there's women who can't orgasm or can't get wet.
Yeah.
So it's,
and there's people, there's women that actually like are in pain when they have sex.
Right.
I'm like, that's going to be a long ass life.
Right. But you know, for them, it's not as big of a shame as it is for a man not to be able to stay hard, you know, and because men measure themselves like that, compare themselves, you know, like you said.
Yeah,
Adam
I wonder how
Levine.
Shitty that feels.
Adam Levine with his big
dick. Yeah, with his big dick.
But so, you know, I mean, there's porn, there's different reasons, and I think it's okay if it's in moderation, just like everything else, you know. But I mean, look, if you abuse drugs and you do that all the time, I can see how people can do that with sex because it does.
Well, people are addicted to sex.
Right. You know, and
how, I don't know.
And an orgasm releases, I'm sure, like endorphins and shit like that, you know.
But people are like so addicted to sex that they have sex with one person, and they get back on like Tinder and go fuck somebody else like immediately after.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
But in a way, though, I can see how it can objectify women, you know, because I think in porn, you want to. It's sort of like the instinct that men have to spread their seed with as many females as possible.
Right.
So I think this is also built in into like wanting to see as many women having sex as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's your fantasy. I mean, porn, usually it's like you're watching something new, you know, you indirectly are acting in it or something, you know. It represents what you want to see, what you want to do.
Right.
You know. So, yeah, you know.
I will say that growing up, my dad had a sensual massage videotape that a friend of the family had given him.
Oh, my God. Man.
What
you
is that?
You should have known me. I would have shown you where all the porn was.
Well, the thing is, that was my first introduction to naked women.
Did you say sensual?
Sensual.
Oh,
sensual.
I was like, what does that even, what sensual does that mean?
Massage. Yeah, sensual massage.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I was using that and learned how to touch a woman and connect with a woman. And then the first time I saw porn, which was a Tracy Lords video, it looked weird.
Yeah,
it felt
right?
weird. And I was like, oh, it looks...
And how old were you at the time, you think?
Oh,
when it looked 14. Weird. Yeah, yeah. You know? When you never seen it before, yeah, it can be pretty.
I cannot remember the first time I saw porn.
Yeah. Mm.
But my kids, you know, they, I mean, you know, they stumble onto that. Like we, a couple years ago.
Your 10-year-olds are already watching porn?
Well, then I hope probably, they're not. But
yeah. Oh, I was like,
but
what
they've
the?
Seen, they've seen images.
Yeah, right.
It's so easy.
Even inadvertently, right. If they just, yeah, I mean, sometimes you click on a Google link, it'll take you to a porn site.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not as bad now, but it used to be, you know.
Yeah.
But
I surprisingly don't get any links or anything for porn on my computer.
Right.
And I've watched porn on my computer before, willingly.
Yeah. But also don't discount the fact that they may actually want and seek it out. It's not like it's just going to happen.
But 10's a little young.
By surprise.
10's young. Maybe at like 13, 14.
I remember, I think I probably was 10, 11, 12 when I discovered my dad had like a... it was sort of a guide from a sex store. So like different rubbers and different toys and shit like that. And back in the 60s, 70s, it was different.
Right.
You know? There was no like, I don't think they had vibrators.
My parents had no sex stuff in the crib.
They would have like condoms with like ticklers on the end of them and stuff like that. You know, it's like, you know, because they didn't have vibrators and all that stuff they have now.
Right.
But so that, and then my cousin and I discovered some slides that my dad was hiding. And I understood why they always have those parties when I had to stay in my room and they were watching that shit probably, you know.
What the fuck?
I like slides, you know, it's not even movies.
Yeah, my grandfather had a magazine hidden away.
Yeah, like, you know, and the kids always find them, you know.
I think my dad had Playboy, that
everywhere.
Was it.
Kids are curious. They want
to
look
that's
everywhere.
How it starts.
But
like,
Playboy is tame. When I first saw Hardcore Sex, I still remember the images.
Yeah, I told my dad one time that I wanted to do Playboy when I grew up. And he was like, if you do that, I'll never speak to you ever again.
Well, he's already not speaking to you. Maybe now you can do it.
If Playboy was a little classier, I wouldn't mind doing it. Like if it was implied nude, like if I was naked, but like my breasts were covered and like, basically,
like Maxim and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, I would do it for sure. Yeah. And they'd pay me for it. So, like, why the fuck wouldn't I do it? But it's, like, straight up, like, vagina open, tits out.
Right.
Asshole spread. I'm like, I'm good. I'll stick to
you're
trying
not
to get it.
Do that.
Yeah.
Huh?
I'll stick trying to get into Maxim. I've been trying to get into Maxim for years.
Yeah.
It's on my bucket list of shit to do. Mm.
So, I saw you post about that. Why don't you promote it? You can talk to people here. They'll vote for you.
Oh,
stuff,
I know. Huh? But this is the first round. I don't care yet.
Oh, okay.
There's, like, a million rounds.
Really?
Yeah. So, this is top 30. And I registered for Boston, and there's, like four different groups in Boston, so I'm in group 3.
Right.
So it's like the top 30 of that group, then it goes top 20, then top 10, then top 5, and then the whole Boston gets into one group, and then you got to do the whole fucking thing over again. Wow. It's like a really long competition.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they really filter it down.
Yeah, I mean, the competition does get shorter. Like this first round, there's 16 days left. Then the next round, they'll only give you like 10 days to make it, and then 5 days, and then 3 days, and then 2 days.
Yeah,
so
you become very popular.
Right.
By the time you're almost at the...
Right. So when I get closer to like actually making it, then I'll promote it.
Okay.
But it is the link in my Instagram bio if you guys do want to vote for me for this round.
Yeah, there you go.
What's your Instagram bio?
XXO Danielle.
Cool.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I hope you make it.
I just want to be in that magazine one time.
You dream big, and that's good, but you got to follow up on it with action.
Yeah, but like, there's like been quite some unattractive women in there, and not that many black women.
Right.
At all.
Yeah.
At all. They've all been blonde or brunettes, but none of them have been black, really. So let's get it going. And none of them have been tatted.
Yeah.
Guys want to see girls with ass tattoos.
Well, maybe not in Maxim. I don't know.
Yeah, they do.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll buy it for once because anyone, I don't want to shit talk them, but like, I don't know anyone who's like at the store buying Maxim.
Yeah.
Maybe if you have someone like me, they'll actually go out and buy it.
Or maybe for the style section, like GQ, and maybe you're gay or something, you know? I mean, No, I mean, because what I'm saying is when it's like GQ and stuff, it's for fashion.
Oh, yeah, it's for fashion.
And style.
But they only have celebrities doing GQ.
Yeah.
They don't have like random
people. No, but they have articles and shit like that, you know, in GQ that are like about style. They have great ads for clothes. I mean,
wouldn't be in an ad in GQ, I don't think.
Yeah.
Maybe not in this lifetime. But I do want to get invited to their parties.
Why? You can be in an ad GQ when they have a guy and a girl in the picture. Why not?
I don't really consider myself like a model. Like, I don't know if I would ever go to a casting for a modeling.
Right.
For those. Like, they, those people are like signed up with like Wilhelmina and shit. They're like 10 feet tall. You know, I'm only 5'1".
I used to work in commercial casting.
Yeah, they're like, yeah. I would walk in, they'd be like, thank you for coming.
I'm 5'8".
Yeah.
And we were casting models for like L'Oreal or something. And so all these women were coming in that were over 6'2", 6'3". And I'm like, shaking, you know, hi.
Yeah,
thank you.
I
never felt so small.
So small, right?
And it, and you know, like the first 10 minutes, it was fun because, you know, beautiful women. But then, you know, by the end of the day, I felt like crap about myself. And I said to someone, I was like, who do these women date?
They have to date like taller guys, basketball players. Yeah. But most basketball players are dating models. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
But I remember I told you I went to that casting like 6 months ago for Ulta Beauty. And I walked in and every chick was like what he's saying, like 6'1", 6'2". Then here comes me in sneakers. I'm 5'1". And then I go into the room where they're doing like the recording. Oh, and the guy goes, hey, I just want to let you know, don't feel like crap before I film you, but you're definitely the shortest girl that showed up today. And I go, yeah, probably not going to make it. He goes, you stand out, but probably not. No.
Oh, good. I know. Those are things we can't do anything about, you know.
But it's weird because on camera, I look really tall. In pictures, I look really tall. I'm just really short in person. Yeah. It's because my legs are really long and my stomach's like
you
this
big. You
got
like the Tom Cruise thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, he looks short all around. Okay, yeah. All even right. even in movies, he looks short.
Yeah.
I used to think he was the shit when I was like a teenager.
Yeah.
Now I'm older. I'm like,
how tall is he?
It's like five or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's like four
inches.
No,
I don't feel short. Shit. I'm 5'8" too, so we're right on the cusp between
we're not quite tall.
Right.
We're not short.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I've been around, like I went to Hyde on Sunset a couple weeks ago and like Blake Griffin was there, and when you stand next to him, especially when you're my height, it's like standing next to a giant.
Right. Sometimes you see couples like that too, mm-hmm. you know. But the thing is, I talked to a tall guy once. I said, you know, it occurred to me that you always see the tops of people's heads. You know, you see a lot of baldness.
Right.
You see a lot of shit.
You can see everything.
We don't see, you know.
You could like literally stand up where you're at and see the entire room.
Right. But wouldn't that make you walk tall though? You know, if you were taller than everybody else, it's probably, you know, walk straight.
I think it is depending. Like I've known people, I've met guys that are like 6'6". That don't play ball, and they felt very self-conscious about that.
Yeah.
Like, because everyone meets them and they just assume that they play basketball because they're so tall.
Right.
And it's like, no, I don't play.
Yeah.
But I've like had conversations with guys like, yeah, I get really insecure about it. Like as if I was supposed to be playing basketball.
It's like, I'm an accountant.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have a few minutes left. We're talking to Matthew Solomon. Matthew, what are some of the things that, well, mainly like the point in your book, mm-hmm. why should people read it? What do you have in there?
Well, the book is laid out to really break down what women are dealing with and have been dealing with in regards to sexual harassment and rape and just being harassed and, you know, catcalled and even online, you know, getting the dick pics in your DMs.
Well, it's even at the club too. Mm-hmm. Like if you think about it, even when I go to the club, I get sexually harassed the minute I walk in that bitch.
That's true.
By like almost every single dude that's in there, right. Especially if they got a little bit of Henny or tequila, or if they have a table, they're like, excuse me, miss, can you come to my table? Don't fucking touch me.
Yeah,
I don't know you. I'm not coming to your table, especially now that you just grabbed my arm. But that's like sexual harassment
mm-hmm.
to me. Yeah. In a little bit of a form.
Yeah, I mean, that's invading her space.
Yeah,
totally.
Exactly.
Totally. Yeah. And so I really wanted to just break down for men what women are dealing with and what your experience is so that we can understand it and be like, oh, okay, yeah, this is a big deal and we need to change some things up.
Right.
And it's not, you know, it's not accusatory. It's just like, this is where we're at. This is what happened. And this is what we get to do. We get to listen to women. We get to, you know, create a safe space for you all,
right?
You know, so that you can express yourselves and be who you are without worrying about getting grabbed,
right?
And it's also,
I think comments too about the body is is crossing a line.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're putting it out there, you know.
No,
that's
okay, so let's talk about what we talked about.
But we don't have time for that, though. But we will.
Yeah.
But what we talked about? What?
When I told you I had a lawsuit open, and I told you when I came to work because I posted a picture on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. Where I was wearing like a mesh top and my nipples were out. And as soon as I walked in, my manager said, nice nipples. Mm. I don't think that's appropriate.
Right.
I think that's sexual harassment. You're saying if I put it out there, it's acceptable? When you're making me extremely uncomfortable, now you're my boss, and the entire time you talk to me, you're thinking of my tits.
Yeah, no, I mean it's never right to say this to anyone, but you have to ask yourself your motive behind showing your tits.
I mean, Rihanna does it, but she's not expecting some dude to some photographer to come up to her and say, "Hey, Rihanna on the red carpet, nice tits."
No, but you can expect it.
No, you cannot. Why? That's not acceptable.
Well, it's blaming the victim. But it's, you know, and so like
No, I'm not. I would never do that.
No, I'm not saying you are, but I'm saying like that's the realm of it. And so,
but you're not the only person that thinks like that. So don't think you're like in the boat by
yourself. No, I'm just asking. Yeah,
I would say most men feel the same way that you do.
Yeah,
like if you put your ass online, they think it's okay to comment about your ass. I mean, which is fine. On Instagram, it's different because I don't know you in person.
But you're talking about commenting. Nobody's like, we were talking about invasion of space and touching.
I think when it comes to a workplace and you comment on something that you saw online because you have to follow me, that's an invasion of space. Like now you have come into my bubble and you have made me uncomfortable.
But I think it's just maybe not a professional thing to do at work. It probably
it depends on your work though. You're a model or actress.
I was working in a nightclub.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I was a bartender.
But you know, the point is, it's like women should be able to express themselves what makes them feel good without having to defend yourself. And men, you know, like we are able to do that. Like we can, you know, shirtless pictures or, you know, our pants hanging down.
Right.
You know, but it's a different thing. It's really just we get to be a more sensitive culture now and not make each other wrong and not go like and give up that entitlement part.
Right.
And
just,
you know, it's like if that's how you want to express yourself, express yourself.
Right.
And I know that if I make a comment about your nipple or your ass or something, if I know that that's going to put you off and you know, then I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, but you saying if you knew, but what if you don't know?
Well, we have to play it safer right now. Because, be on the safe side.
But that's what most people say. Well, if you post it online, that's what you should expect, which is true to an extent. Like if you post an ass picture online, guarantee there's going to be guys you don't know commenting on your ass, but it's easy. You can just block them. You don't know them. You're never going to see them in real life. Right. I'm saying like, if I post something that I want to post online, I shouldn't have to go into an environment that's supposed to be professional and hear shit about what I posted.
Well, at work, at work.
Woman should feel like that's acceptable just because they're scared about being fired.
Right. You know? No, that's absolutely, it's a power thing too.
Especially it's different too. Like, when someone's like, "Well, you're a reality TV star, like you're basically a whore online." That was one of the comments that was,
"Wow, that's terrible." Yeah.
And I'm like, "But that's very not true."
No, it's not.
Because social media is like 0.001% of what a real person actually is.
It's true. Yeah, and listen to one who has 350 mother effers.
I'm almost at 350.
At Instagram. I don't know why I had to choose that term, but I corrected myself quickly. Our guest, Matthew Solomon, how can people find you real quick if they want to use your services?
Yeah, coachwithmatthewsolomon.com is my website, and there's links to my Facebook, which is facebook.com/coachwithmatthewsolomon, and then Instagram and Twitter is @MattyTheGlue.
Sounds good.
Like GLUE.
GLUE.
Thank you so much for joining us, Matthew. You're a lot of fun. You're welcome back. There's probably still a lot to talk about. Relationships and everything.
We didn't even get into
my therapy session. It's all right.
That's true. So we'll definitely do it next time soon.
All right.
Okay, and where can people read your column real quick too?
Oh, it's The Good Men Project. It's an online publication.
It's goodmenproject.com.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yep. Wow, we're so over time. Guys, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Danny. Mm-hmm. See you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.